It once seemed like a fantasy idea, didn't it? The reality of heading to a car yard to buy a driverless car. But the fact is, that reality is getting closer. Trials of driverless cars and buses are already underway around the country, with autonomous vehicles forecast to be on the market as soon as 2020. But how ready is our infrastructure for the transition to driverless cars? A Senate inquiry into the social issues around autonomous vehicles continues in Sydney, but some experts say it's the logistics of bringing driverless cars to our roads that should be the top priority. Claire Nichols has more.
I'm buckled in and about to take a ride on the so-called IntelliBus, a shiny silver shuttle bus that doesn't have a steering wheel.
Okay, so what the bus is doing now, it's using its various sensors around the bus, primarily the GPS to keep it on track, and its system called LiDAR.
My guide is explaining LiDAR the various technologies that allow this bus to navigate a public road. In his hand is a video game console, which allows him to manually drive the vehicle if he needs to. Sitting next to me is Anne Still from the Royal Automobile Club of WA.
Well, we're currently riding in a fully driverless level 4 autonomous shuttle.
And we've just come to a sudden stop.
We have.
Just detected an obstacle in front of the bus. That's moved away. I think it was a small bird, to be honest with you. It's now gone.
Okay. Well, we stopped for a bird. How cool is that? So tell me more about this bus.
Yeah, so it's a level 4 fully driverless, fully electric shuttle. And it's really an opportunity for Western Australia, RAC, to learn more about driverless vehicle technology before we see that technology roll out in earnest.
It's kind of disconcerting to be sitting up the front here and not see a driver in front of me.
It is. I mean, it takes a little while to get used to it, but it is surprising how quickly you do become comfortable.
The RAC has been running this trial for over 6 months, with about 2,000 members of the public taking a ride along the South Perth foreshore. As we drive along, many pedestrians stop to look. But sights like this could soon become commonplace. Anne Still says by 2020, driverless cars could start to enter the Australian market.
Certainly by 2030, we will see widespread rollout of the technology. That's certainly what vehicle manufacturers are saying. You know, we've got Google, Ford, Volvo. Everyone seems to be working on some sort of driverless vehicle.
So that's, you know, 2020 is 3 years away. How ready are we as a state when it comes to our infrastructure and our roads and our planning for these sorts of changes?
Well, look, I mean, I would say we're not ready at the moment, but I would say no jurisdiction is. And that's why this trial is just such a great opportunity. But then what do we need to do in terms of infrastructure? I mean, is there some sort of change we need to make to the road environment, to the white lines? All of those sort of sorts of things have to be worked through. We're also seeing a shift where infrastructure is no longer about concrete, but it's about communications and information technology. So, you know, we need to make sure we've got a flawless and completely connected satellite 3G system that these vehicles are able to use.
If you look at the government press releases, most of them have variations on the theme of we're open for business. These things are great. They're coming. We all want to be the place where South Australia particularly wants to be the place where people come to invest in the technology and creating the conditions for these things. But I think in terms of thinking about what they're going to do to our cities, whether they're going to make cities bigger or smaller, whether they're going to release space for other things, whether they're going to chew up more space in our cities. Those are the questions which planners really are starting to grapple with and which we really have to think clearly about. You know, what do we want this technology to do? And that's the question which we're only just starting to ask.
John Stone is a senior lecturer in transport planning at the University of Melbourne. He's closely considering the transition to driverless cars. As well as thinking about new cameras and sensors, he says governments will also need to consider how driverless and regular cars will exist side by side. There could be an initial scenario where driverless cars need their own lane on the freeway. In fact, without clear planning, John Stone says the autonomous revolution could actually lead to an increased dependence on cars.
If you have a car which allows you to do some work as you go along, send your kid off to school in a car. We might have more of these things on the road. And we also might think it's, for many of us, we might think it's okay to commute longer distances. So we might be happy to live further from where we live or where our kids go to school. So in that sense, we might make our cities bigger. Some of the ideas about driverless cars mean that we won't have to have so much parking. That's possibly true. But we really have to be careful about what we might do with that extra space. I've heard people say, oh, fantastic, we're going to free up that space from private cars. We can use it for trucks or something like that. So we have to really think carefully about if there is some opportunities to provide more space away from transport purposes, that we think about it in terms of parks or space for walking and cycling, all of those sort of things which we need in our cities.
The transition could also impact on pedestrian behaviour.
People are starting to think, well, perhaps if a car is never going to hit you, why would you ever wait for the green arrow, the green sign to start walking? Why wouldn't we have jaywalking and people riding their bikes all over the street because they know the cars will keep out of their way? And people have started to speculate that that'll mean that these driverless cars will have to travel quite slowly, in which case they won't be as competitive with current cars as people might hope. And there is a sense that perhaps we might have to fence roads to separate the driverless cars from pedestrians and cyclists.
While there are plenty of big picture concepts for governments to grapple with, there are more practical issues too. And Still from the RAC tells me even getting this bus to Australia posed a paperwork challenge.
The Australian design rules set out exactly all the criteria that a vehicle has to meet in order to be imported. And one of those questions is what side of the vehicle is the steering wheel on. So, you know, we're not complying straight away. Fortunately, we've been able to work closely with the federal government to agree to some exemptions, but obviously all of those things will need to be changed and looked at. And with the technology moving so fast, government's going to have to move even faster.
That's Anne Still from the RAC finishing that report from Claire Nichols in Perth. It's a brave new world, folks, coming our way.